Good morning and welcome to God's Point of View, a weekly Bible-based discussion on matters of faith and everyday living. God's Point of View is made possible every Thursday at this time by the Highland Church of Christ, 821 Euclid Avenue in Patesville. And now your co-host for God's Point of View, Tim Collins and Jerry Scott.
You place your hand on his Bible, and when you swear to tell the truth, name is on our greatest monuments, all our money too. And when we pledge allegiance, there's no doubt of where we stand. There's no separation, we're one nation under Him. In God we still trust. America, He's the one we turn to every time the going gets rough. He is the source of all our strength, the one who watches over us. Here in America, in God we still trust.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome in to God's Point of View, presented by the Highland Church of Christ, located at 821 Euclid Avenue here in Paintsville. This is a paid program by the church. Therefore, the opinions of myself or Mr. Jerry Scott are not necessarily those of WSIP Radio or Fort Broadcasting, but they are our opinions. Amen. As Amen. We interpret the Holy Scripture.
Amen. Amen. Morning, and brother. That phrase, Timotheus, good morning, that phrase is pregnant.
With meaning.
With meaning and controversy.
Oh,
as
yes.
We interpret the scripture.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah.
Because everybody thinks their interpretation generally is correct.
I'm always right.
Yeah, of course. Of course you are.
In my mind.
Yeah. And folks who listening today who feel the same way, either about you or about themselves, could give us a call at 789-0318.
They may have a different perspective to bring something to our attention that we're missing.
They may.
Or
indeed.
If it's easier for them, if you're sitting in front of your computer at work and doing other things, and you have a moment that you'd like to email us a question, you could do that at godspointofview@yahoo.com. That's godspointofview@yahoo.com. You don't have to identify yourself.
No you don't.
It may be a question. We haven't talked about this in a little bit. Maybe a question you think, I don't want to look foolish. I don't want to seem like I'm not very smart. I'm embarrassed to ask something that could be so simple. That I like you're saying, sometimes, I believe, or probably all the times, those things and that little voice inside of you saying, you're going to look foolish to ask that. That's from the pits of hell, as you
say. It is indeed. It is indeed. Satan wants to keep us from growing and learning and thriving in the Lord. And so one of the things that he tries to do is to convince us that everybody knows more than we do.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
And I think I was probably, as a first grader, I raised my hand every time the teacher asked a question, whether I knew the answer or not, or whether I even understood the question. Kids just, they want to be involved.
Yeah.
About the third grade, I answered a question and I was laughed at.
Yeah, I've been there too.
Yeah, and so I quit raising my hand. And that's a terrible thing.
Yeah.
Always ask questions.
Yeah.
Always ask questions. You know, a lot of us would view a lot of the guys at the end of the class, mostly gals, not guys so much, few guys. We would call them nerds today. back then, we would call them brown nosers or teacher pet or whatever. And they would always hang around the teacher at the end of the class and talk.
Yeah.
But us, you know, us the jocks, we'd get out as quickly
as we
could.
Throw the baseball.
You know it.
Yeah.
Listen, those guys knew what it was about.
Yeah,
because they were seeking information. I'm sure there were some brown nosers as well, but they were seeking information.
And you exactly right. And I was getting ready to say a thought, and it just left me.
Yeah, it happens. Well, maybe it's a good time to go to the phones.
Yeah, because it's ringing, and that would be a great time to go to the phones.
Yeah, let's do it.
Find out what's going on here this morning. Good morning, and welcome to God's Point of View. Your question or comment, please.
Hi, Tim. It's Mark Murphy. I called you a while back one day when Jerry wasn't there.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you remember. We was talking about praying when things go bad, you know.
Yep, we sure did. Yeah.
And since then, we've had quite a few things happen, but, you know, people want to know, why does this happen? And, you know, a lot of times it's obvious, and sometimes it's not so obvious.
Yeah.
But I had a situation with my mother-in-law, was diagnosed with lung cancer. Mm. She had surgery. The doctor that done the surgery said, you know, the type of cancer it is, she's got 6 months to live. So time went on, and we got her to go to another hospital for second opinion. And went to that hospital, and that doctor said, I can't find any cancer.
Wow.
I mean, you know, so that's like a true miracle.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, now we'll keep watch on it and see what happens. Well, it came back, and it ended up taking her life.
Mm.
But you get thinking, why was she given a miracle like she was given just to have it taken away again? We got talking, and there was two people that she had witnessed to. Got them to come to church. Both of them got saved.
Yeah.
Now, if she had a passed away with her cancer from the first diagnosis, those people would have never been to church. She would have never been able to testify and witness to them, and they wouldn't have got saved and been in church.
Yeah.
And she was given that time to do that. So, you know, sometimes, like I say, it's to me and people in our church, I mean, it's just an obvious thing. But sometimes, you know, it's not that obvious, and sometimes it takes a while. And I've had a lot of circumstances in my life that the same way. You think, why in the world did that happen? And then as time goes on, you kind of see. Now, sometimes we never know. But I thought I'd share that with you. You know, that's one of those things that you want to know why. And mm-hmm. then, you know, and I just thought that was, you know.
Well, I think it's you've got to have faith. That's where, I mean, if you don't have faith, you have nothing. But you have to have faith that God's knows, even though we're questioning, we don't understand, and I'll let Jerry chime in as well. Even though we don't understand, we have faith that God knows what's best. We don't, because we're just a bunch of goobers.
Wait a minute.
Come on now. I mean, let's be honest.
Don't speak disparagingly of goober. Come on now.
Oh, my goodness.
He's a good old boy.
But I would have only one thing to say to this entire conversation. One word. Amen.
Go.
Everything you said, brother, I believe wholeheartedly. Sometimes things happen and we think that's a miracle from God, and then maybe later it reverses, or what we thought had happened maybe didn't happen, or as you mentioned, the cancer came back. Doesn't mean it wasn't a miracle at the time. It also means that God's ways are higher than our ways, and his thoughts are higher than our thoughts. And you could be absolutely correct. It was just for those few people that she had a chance to witness to. Oftentimes we will say to people, you're here for a reason. Yeah. There's a reason you're here. I had a fellow say to me one time who was close to 100 years old. He said, I don't know why I'm here. I'm no good to anybody. And another brother listening said, well, are you doing anything to hurt anybody? And the old brother said, no, I'm not doing nothing to hurt nobody. And the brother responded by saying, well, then you're doing good.
Yeah.
So if you're not hurting anybody, you're doing good. And we need all of that. We can get this in this day.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, like you say, and I truly do believe that that was a miracle. And you know, then when she was diagnosed, it came back and it took her life, you're thinking, well, why in the world was she given that period of time? And then it makes sense.
Cause it does.
She had other problems, but a lot of people would see how she would do whenever we had any kind of function at the church. And she really wasn't able. She was still cooking things, bringing things.
Sure.
And being involved in church. And people would say that, see that, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
And it was an inspiration to them.
Sure it was. Sure
and,
it was. How old was she when she went to be with the Lord?
65.
65.
Yeah.
Relatively young woman.
Yeah, December the 7th, I believe. Yeah, December the 7th.
And Mark, you may have people that say, you know, well, what kind of God would do that? That's just... As Jerry said, that's a dirty dog trick to play on somebody kind of thing. But we're all going to die. God isn't going to save any of us. None of us are going to live forever. It's man's appointment to die since the Garden of Eden. And, you know, but she was granted that time, like you said. I mean, that's what I'm believing, you know.
I think, again, amen. Everything's been said. Amen.
You know, you look at different scenarios of things, and people think different ways that God punishes us in different ways. And, you know, I'm not going to get into a big debate about that because there's so many different variables there and what people look at. But, you know, she did have a lot of issues besides that, you know, with arthritis and stuff and had problems getting around. But still, you know,
the Lord used her.
She earned her space. You know, she earned her place in heaven. And by her getting out and doing things and people seeing that, you know, and then I think God knew that people watched her and people was, you know, how did she do that?
Yeah.
And actually did give her that miracle to use her because he wasn't completely done yet, you know?
That's exactly right. He's going to use us till he takes us if we'll allow him to do so.
Now, the best king Israel ever had, Judah ever had, was a man by the name of Hezekiah. And he became ill. And the prophet of God, Isaiah, if memory serves me, went to tell him, set your house in order. You know, you're going to die. And he turned to the wall and prayed to the Lord. Oh, Lord, let me live. And the Lord, before Isaiah got back, while he was still on the road, the Lord said, turn around and go back and tell Isaiah, I've heard his prayers. I'm going to lengthen his life by 15 more years. Who knows but what her life was lengthened by the prayers that were being offered for her.
Oh, yes. Yeah, that's for sure. But, yeah. You know, you had a lot of people praying for.
Yeah, well, thanks so much. Thanks so
much. I'll let you go. I'll get back to work.
Hey, one question, Mark. One question I'll ask you. You said you called when I was absent and Tim was here?
Uh-oh.
Yes.
Well, did he behave himself on the air?
He done an excellent job.
Okay, all right.
We had a real good conversation, and he done well.
I'd had some reports, and I just wanted to be sure.
Mark, I appreciate that, brother.
I got you back, Tim.
I appreciate that. Have a good day, brother.
You too. Bye, guys.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Hey, Timotheus, yes, we got a question about a subject that's brought up a lot, mm-hmm. and the subject of baptism.
Yeah.
This call coming in right now. Go ahead and take it. We don't want to keep people holding on the phone.
There we go.
We'll get back.
Let's go back to the phone lines. Yeah. Good morning and welcome to God's Point of View. Your question or comment, please.
I just wonder if y'all could explain the Jehovah's Witness, what they believe in stuff, and all hang up. Just do your answer. Thank you.
The Jehovah's Witness beliefs. I really don't know myself. So
yeah.
I defer.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm not sure we can talk about that in one setting, but basically, the Jehovah's Witnesses were started by a fellow by the name of, if memory serves me, Charles T. Russell. And the Jehovah's Witnesses believe essentially that this earth is going to be our final abode. One of the most troublesome things about the doctrine of Jehovah's Witnesses is that there's no hell. This ought to concern every thoughtful person, because the Bible over and over and over teaches the reality of hell. Jesus, in his ministry, talked about hell and even compared the Valley of Hinnom, which was basically the garbage dump outside the city of Jerusalem, mm-hmm. often compared it to the hellfire and damnation. He talked about where the fire is not, the worm dieth not, and the fire is not quenched. Jehovah's Witnesses are one of many religious groups that sprang out of the Reformation movement. Wonderful, many wonderful people, and I might add committed people.
Absolutely.
To the belief of Jehovah's Witnesses. Yeah. It was about 7 o'clock one morning, 7:30 maybe, many years ago, and I had a knock at my doorbell rang, and I went to the door, and there stood a lady, and she had, of course, some pamphlets in her hand, and she wanted to just hand me some pamphlets. And I told her, I said, you know what, I don't agree with everything on these pamphlets. I took just a quick look at them and saw that it was from the Watchtower Society, mm-hmm. and I said, I don't agree with everything that you folks believe. Now that I think about it, I don't know that I agree with everything that I've always believed, but anyway, I said, but I sure do appreciate your commitment.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know of too many people anymore that do door knocking. And a lot of people who study the church history and church tactics and all of those kinds of things will tell you that it's probably one of the least effective ways of winning souls today because, you know, we live in a society that's pretty closed door and people get in their automobile when they leave work and
want to be left alone.
They drive into their garages and close the door. They go into their homes and pull the blinds. Everybody kind of wants to do their own thing, and everybody certainly has a right to do that. But anyway, I told her, I said, I appreciate your commitment. God bless you for that. And I think we ought to be encouraging to people who are committed to what they believe. However, doesn't mean that we have to believe it hook, line, and sinker, and I do not believe the Jehovah's Witnesses, back many years ago, Judge Rutherford was another leader of the Jehovah's Witnesses. But Charles T. Russell predicted years ago that the kingdom of God would come, the end of the world would come, I think, and I'm just relying on memory here, about 1918, and that people would see the old saints resurrected from the dead, and they'd be walking the earth, and there was a book written about that. That book after 1918 was immediately pulled. Now, when I was, every preacher ought to have a little mean streak in him. I believe John Wesley said that, Martin Luther won.
And yours, I think, maybe just a little bit wider.
I'm trying to minimize it. The older I get, it's not as difficult as it once was to maintain or minimize it. There was a book written about that very subject, about Abraham resurrecting from the dead and the old patriarchs walking the earth. The kingdom of God was coming in 1918. And I think the book title, I'll stand corrected if I'm wrong, if somebody knows the correct title, please call us and tell us. Has anybody seen Abraham lately? That was the name of the book.
Hmm.
And when the time came and the 1918 came, the prediction didn't come true. The book was pulled. But back at one time in my sojourn and my growth as a Christian, I would ask the Jehovah's Witnesses that question. Have you seen Abraham lately?
Hmm.
Now, I know that to some of you are going to think that's mean.
That's a jab, brother.
That's a
jab.
Yeah. But I did it for a couple of reasons. I wanted to find out if they even knew about it.
Yeah.
And they didn't. They never heard of it. Of course, it was pulled because it didn't come true. Many, many years ago, there was another fellow with the Seventh-day Adventist... William Miller was his name. Now, not the William Miller at Browns Ford and a member of the Highland Church.
Deacon, by the way.
A sneaking one. But he predicted a lot of things that was going to come to pass, and people followed him, and it didn't, and they were shamed and all of that. So we have to be careful about those kinds of – it gets back to interpretations, what we were talking about earlier. Mm-hmm. So Jehovah's Witnesses have a lot of doctrinal things that I agree with. But they have a lot of doctrinal things that I do not agree with. Two of them basically is that we're going to live on this earth. This earth is going to be burned up, the Bible says, and a new heaven and a new earth is coming. Mm-hmm. And secondly, I believe wholeheartedly that there is a heaven to gain and a hell to shun.
Mm.
And
Amen.
Jesus talked time and time again. All you got to do is just read, turn to Matthew's gospel. Matthew 25 comes to mind. Turn to Mark's gospel. All throughout the gospel are references to individuals being cast out, cast them into outer darkness where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth. John the Revelator talks about the smoke of their torment ascending upward ever and ever, and there's no rest day or night. Hell is a real place, folks. And for some strange reason, the founders of Jehovah Witness doctrine, they don't believe in it, so they teach that.
So if
you just cease to be, if you're
that was going to be my question.
If you just, I can anticipate your question.
Your puppy dog dies, and it's just done.
Yeah, it's like old Rover. You just dead all over. You know, you die, and that's it, folks. That you mean you can just live like the devil,
there'll
be no justice at all at the end of your life?
Yeah,
it doesn't make common sense.
Yeah.
But, I respect the commitment of those people. They're doing what they believe is right. They're not out here trying to kill people and cut their heads off.
Well, I'd like and to so, see. I'd like to see a little more of that commitment in our church.
Well, we sure we all need. We've been too busy fighting.
Yeah, amen, amen.
And
having a conversation last night with a good friend.
Yeah, we need to quit all that fighting. One of the things we I hope that helps the caller some. And if you'd like, we could go into a more in depth study of that at another time. But that's basically the.
Is it one of the beliefs that just so many people are going to make it?
That's another thing, 144,000, and that's it.
Yeah.
And that comes from Revelation, the book of Revelation, and has nothing to do with the number of people. Has nothing to do with the number of people that's going to be saved. It has to do with, and that's a symbolic reference, 12 tribes, 12,000 from 12 tribes. The 12 has a reference to completeness or perfection, I believe. And so that's the totality, but it's not to be taken literally.
Mm, okay.
The book of Revelation, that's another major subject.
Oh, yeah.
There are some literal things in the book, obviously, but there are also many more figurative things.
Yeah, okay.
That we have to say, this stands for something else.
The representing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, for instance, he says, I heard the voices as the sound of many waters. Well, you know, it wasn't many waters, but it sounded like many waters. So there's a lot of symbolism there. So, yeah, only a certain number going. And it's interesting to note that the main ones that were going all were part of the Jehovah's Witness group. You know, it's the founders, it's the leaders. They're all going. They call that a heavenly hope.
Mm-hmm.
And those of us who aren't going to that place, then there's an earthly hope. There's like degrees of worthiness or something.
Yeah.
And that didn't say it exactly right, but that's pretty much.
Well, when you bring that, a couple of things comes to mind is so many different beliefs, and for a sinner looking in, well, those Christian people, they can't get along for nothing. You've got one belief in this thing. You've got one belief in that thing.
I can understand that.
And we're told that the author of confusion is no other but Satan himself.
That's
now,
right.
I'm not saying that all the other churches, or because there's different beliefs, names on the doors, is a product of Satan. I'm not saying that.
Well, where did it all come from? Where did it all come from?
There you go.
The subject that
being misled.
The subject that I was asked about and asked to comment on today, baptism, something that comes from God, something that is biblical, and yet it has been perverted. It has been changed.
Twisted around.
Yeah. People have fought over it. I was just doing a quick survey there a moment ago and noticed that there was probably a dozen different references to baptismal subjects, and each of those probably are 8 or 10 pages long. When it gets so complicated.
When it's such a simple thing.
It is a simple thing. Let's try to simplify it for just a moment in the time we have remaining. Baptism was not a complicated issue in the days of Jesus, in the days of the apostle. Baptism is a command of God. And Jesus himself walked 60 miles to be baptized of John. Not because Jesus was a sinner, because he wasn't. He had no sin to be forgiven. But he himself tells us why he did it. John said, I have need to be baptized of you, of thee, the King James says. And Jesus said, suffer it or permit it to be so now, for thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. In other words, Jesus said, it's the right thing to do, because God has commanded that we do it. And so I'm doing it not because my sins need to be forgiven, because I have no sins, Jesus would say. I'm doing it because it is the right thing to do. All of God's commandments are righteousness.
Well, I'm kind of like with my dad. I used to question my, but Dad, why? And this is where I think that we are at with those type things.
Yeah.
And my dad would say, because I said so.
That's a good way to respond to it, I think. And God pretty much says the same thing. God expects first-time obedience, by the way. He wants us to do what we know to do when we learn to do it. You can't obey something you don't know.
Amen.
But when you learn to do it, James says in James, the fourth chapter, that if we know to do good and do it not, then it's to us a sin if we don't do it. So Jesus was baptized in order to fulfill all righteousness. When he was baptized, the Spirit of God descended in the form of a dove and set upon him. That was to signify, and God said it, this is my Son in whom I am well pleased. God is pleased with those who are. So, Then move forward a while, the couple 300 years. The religion of the day became corrupted. The church fell away into apostasy, and it commingled with government and became a situation for a number of years, a thousand years, I guess we call as the Dark Ages. We studied that in school. And baptism then was a rite that was only administered. Now keep in mind, before it was administered by men. Carpenters, tax collectors, just whomever was a servant of God and someone wanted to be baptized, they baptized them because it was the right thing to do. It was a command of God. But for a period of about 1,000 years, people didn't have the Bible.
Yeah.
The Bible, during the period we studied in school as the Dark Ages, when Catholicism, quite frankly,
okay,
took the Bible, the then church, I think the apostate church, then took the Bible, chained it to the pulpit. Yeah. There was no Bible. The common man didn't have the Bible.
Yeah.
All the rules and edicts were given down by the priests. And so, if there was any baptizing to do, they did it. And oftentimes it was done by sprinkling or pouring, not by immersion. The word baptizo is in the Greek language to immerse or to dip, to plunge. But that was changed by man. That was changed by man.
Yeah.
Then came along, boy, I'm really giving a brief history and don't have much time to do it. Then came along the Reformation movement. Martin Luther came along and he began to read the Bible. He didn't have a copy, but he read one in the library in a city called Wittenberg, Germany.
And he's like, hold on here.
Yeah, he says, the just shall live by faith, not by ritual.
Yeah.
And nailed 95 theses to the 95 objections to the door of the Catholic Church, and they excommunicated him, of course. Mm-hmm. But then from the Reformation movement came all these other churches.
Yeah.
Even though Martin Luther pleaded with the Lutherans, and that's what they called themselves, don't call yourselves Lutherans, call yourself Christians.
Yeah.
John Wesley had a following. They became known as the Methodists because John was methodic in what he did.
No, yeah.
Some guys came over from Scotland by the name of Thomas and Alexander Campbell, and they said, hey, we need to stop following all these new rules now and just be Christians. They called them Campbellites. So then the Baptists came, and Presbyterians, and all of these, and all of them had their own tradition when it came to baptism. Now, having said all of that, there's one constant in all of this: the Bible.
The Bible.
It has never changed.
Yeah.
We can say it in various ways, and people say things to me sometimes. I know what they mean, but I'm not going to nitpick it to death. Mm-hmm. They have a heart as good as gold, and they're trying their best to live for the Lord. And they've had a moment in time where they were changed. Their spirit was changed, and they were baptized. Why do we have to make it? Why can't we just say that salvation is not a one time act in one area, but as someone recently said to me, a process.
Mm.
And that's basically what it is.
We are a process.
We are a process. We're still a process.
Oh yeah.
And so at various points in one's life, we come to new revelation. And in the New Testament, there are some 9 cases of conversion. And some of them were told to repent. Some of them were told to believe. Some of them were told to confess, but every single one of them ended up being baptized.
Yeah.
That doesn't mean that baptism is the only thing that's important. I've just said they believed, they repented, they confessed.
Mm-hmm.
But baptism was the final act that was a going public with what you believe in your heart. And God has promised to bless that. Why? Because it's the right thing to do. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. You mean a person could be baptized and not be saved? Yeah, they can be. Because if they haven't really believed and they haven't truly repented and they haven't actually confessed the Lord, they just got wet in their baptism. So it takes all of those things working together. It wasn't an issue in New Testament times. Man has made it an issue.
Absolutely. Yeah. And that's going to do it for today's God's Point of View, presented by the Highland Church of Christ, located at 821 Euclid Avenue here in Paintsville. We'd like to invite you to services each Sunday morning. Sunday school starts at 9:30 a.m., Sunday morning worship at 10:30 a.m., Sunday evening at 6 p.m., and Wednesday evenings at 7 p.m. And again, on Sunday morning at 7 a.m. for Looking to Jesus, and don't forget 2 p.m. for Bluegrass in the Highlands, another program from the Highland Church. Again, we'd like to thank you for listening to God's Point of View, presented by the Highland Church of Christ.